Healing is big business today. Hospitals have got bigger and better, at least when they're actually working, equipped with all the latest technology that science can invent and money can buy. New drugs, new treatments, and new approaches are being pioneered all the time. But these breakthroughs not only take time and energy to achieve, the buildings, the medicines, and the research are all expensive. So state-run medical services find it ever more difficult to fund the treatments needed, and national health waiting lists seem to grow ever longer, even apart from the consequences of the pandemic and of recent and ongoing strikes. Morale suffers, and medical practitioners burn out or turn to other professions, frustrated by the limitations placed upon them when the resources are not adequate to meet medical needs. Patients often feel reduced to ciphers, cases, whose needs may or may not be met, rather than individuals. By contrast, our Lord Jesus draws an essential connection between his preaching of the kingdom and the healing of the whole person. The context for his sending out of the disciples in this morning's gospel is his distress at the state of the crowds who have gathered around him with many different needs. He felt sorry for them because they were harassed and dejected. This might well be a fair description of many of today's occupants of a busy hospital ward. Jesus raises the question of the scarcity of laborers to work at healing their ills. And in response, he calls the disciples together and gives them a special commission. He gave them authority over unclean spirits with power to cast them out and to cure all kinds of diseases and sickness. To begin with, he doesn't send them out to the world at large, but rather to their own compatriots, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They are to go to those to whom the promises of the Old Testament were made, promises which included that of the Father who would bear them up on eagle's wings, watch over them, guard them forever, and count them a kingdom of priests, a consecrated nation. For us, faced with the problems of daily life today, such phrases from our first reading from the book of Exodus may seem rather detached, even perhaps a little ethereal. But what we find our Lord asking of his disciples is actually more down to earth. In order to preach the kingdom, they must first of all offer healing, whether of evil spirits or of other spiritual and physical ailments which are afflicting all those they meet. To preach the kingdom is to offer healing of the whole person, something much more than merely physical healing, and something which perhaps we all need even if we don't have physical ailments. And the power to do this can only come from our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises. The church has always been involved with physical as well as with spiritual healing. Medieval monasteries began the care later taken up by the great nursing orders, which were the forerunners of today's medical services. Since the state and private business interests have taken over the provision of physical care, the church's role has become even more directed, however, towards the inner person through visiting and chaplaincy work, if we're really allowed by the powers to be to get stuck in and do what we want and need to do in that respect. For despite some forays into alternative medicine, the dominant model of healing in the Western world continues to treat us more or less as sort of biological machines. and disappointment with the depersonalization in many areas of medicine and with the apparent split between the physical and spiritual care has led to a high profile for all sorts of alternatives and sometimes perhaps rather dubious therapies: homeopathy, acupuncture, shiatsu, reflexology, and other attempts to combine the two aspects, spiritual and physical, of our needs for healing. This search for elements not provided by common medical practice may well stem from people feeling that the whole person isn't being addressed, even though we know that body, mind, and spirit interact all the time and need to be regarded as one. So society is failing to bring people the fullest healing available to them. How to remedy this? Firstly, of course, by lobbying those who have the power to reassess and change the systems within our society, but also by ensuring that we personally treat our fellow men as whole people, precious in their totality, not just in regard to those bits of them that we can cope with. Our Lord himself didn't live in easy agreement with contemporary society of his time, but was always working for change, though for change at God's pace. He didn't advocate violence, but nor did he regard any established situations as being altogether hopeless and unchangeable. Rather, he was altogether taken up with the many different possibilities within God's power and set out by him. That the harvest is rich is a most encouraging statement for us to hear in our gospel reading. Every harassed and disheartened person who has lost the sense of direction and meaning in life can be cured by God's grace, wherever the bearer of this message is accepted and welcomed. The new power exercised by our Lord Jesus among a harassed and dejected people is God's harvest, manifested not as condemning judgment, but as a sign of his intervention. The disciples and the church, and that, of course, means you and me too, are to share in the breaking through of the kingdom into the world. God calls his messengers, chooses those to be used as his instruments, as we heard in this morning's gospel, and those who in all that they do remain the source of every blessing. The 12 appointed by our Lord are the ones in and through whom he is to continue his earthly work. Their power is given by him and is a new offer of salvation through the gift of wholeness and healing. And today, we are commissioned to bring Christ's wholeness to all people everywhere, whoever they may be, as true disciples, bringing the kingdom to all those we meet, and especially to those we see harassed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd.